Welcome, everybody, to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart. And on today's show, we have a fan favorite and a co-star favorite from my show, Days of Our Lives.
A co-star favorite?
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Robert Scott Wilson is here.
He's here.
He's very tall.
He's tall and handsome. I think he works out.
A little.
And he is known by the audience of our show for 9 years as being Ben Watson, the necktie killer. But then... He put on a pair of glasses and went from like Superman to Clark Kent, and now he plays Alex Kyriakis.
He's got that like Superman quality.
He's got a Superman vibe.
He's very handsome. He could do that. You couldn't pull that off, but he definitely can.
Does Lois Lane have like like an urchin like sister? Because you could absolutely be that.
Anyway, guys, we're actually really excited to interview Robert Scott Wilson. So stick around.
When we come back. Scott Wilson, welcome to Soapy.
Yay! Hey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. You got a
nice
hell of a setup.
Not bad, right?
Likewise. And gee,
hey,
my next door neighbor.
We share a wall.
Next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually next door neighbors with him.
Physical,
did you know this?
Like our homes were. Right
he's like my brother. In fact, we were just in the bathroom together. I pee in front of him now.
She just peed in front of him.
God,
I was like, we do this now? We pee in front of each other?
But our producer's like, don't talk about that.
That's actually so gross.
Are you glad you're here? This is what we're
doing. That's great. No, perfect.
That's how well we know each other.
Yeah. So here's where I wanted to start. May seem like an odd place, maybe not.
Sure.
So in my.
Oh, he's
research.
So excited about this.
Well, I ended up going down that rabbit hole of watching all five webisodes of the Price is Right search for the replacement model, because you were the very first Price is Right male model.
Oh, so you watched the next one.
So I watched, so you were a guest judge in one of the episodes.
Yes.
And then I was like, well, now I'm invested and I got to find out who wins. But what I was invested.
I mean, he's been talking about asking you this.
Well, no, because...
For 3 weeks.
Let's do it, man. Now is the time, G.
But here's what amazed me about it. It is such a specific skill that very few people can attest to, because it's not runway, it's not editorial. You are live action modeling, and you were so good at it.
Thanks, man.
But how? How do you hone that skill?
Live action modeling.
Live action modeling. Let me tell you.
It's coined here.
Yeah, no, it was awkward for me.
Sure.
Because obviously it was only women that had done it before. And look, I'm eternally grateful for that job and that part of my career, you know, because there's no blueprint of how to get your foot in the door, you know? And I had done the modeling thing, trying to pay my bills here and there between Boston and New York and Los Angeles, but by the time I got to LA, I just wanted to act, you know, and I was studying acting and I had this diet of like co-stars and guest stars. So when this came up, I was like, you know, it wasn't really my thing. Long story short, once we started the process of trying to, you know, get the gig and they started doing the webisodes, and even then I was actually doing it with one of my friends at the time, and we were just like, man, you know, fuck this, you know, excuse my language.
No,
you can curse.
Okay, well, I'll try to take it easy on the cursing. But this isn't really our thing. And then it got narrowed down. And then, you know, the competitive spirit in me kind of kicked
in.
Yeah,
you started to get invested.
Once it got down to like five of us, I was like, okay, now I want to win this thing. You know, I've come this far. And it ended up really changing my life, because it opened the door to daytime, period. Granted, I wasn't acting, but in a way we were. And when we started, at least when I came on board, Drew was always, you know, busting my balls and saying things to me, and I'd have to say something, but we weren't mic'd.
Oh.
So when I started, I'd always right away try to, you know, jump in with him, because he's like the improv lord. And I was like, any opportunity I can banter with Drew would be fantastic. So we ended up getting mic'd and getting upgrades for all the other the women models too.
Uh-huh.
So. It was awkward, but it ended up being an amazing door opening to this genre of daytime.
Well,
period.
Also, like, to your point about like how it opened up daytime, you're literally in minutes away from where Bold was and where Y&R was.
Right next door.
Yeah.
Shared a wall. Like, we share a wall.
Exactly.
You know?
I imagine, stages. Like, being so handsome at first. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
I feel
this
like-
is about Rob. Let's talk about Rob.
This is clearly, I thought this is for Greg here.
Oh, jeez.
It was a great opportunity.
Well, no, but sometimes I think, you know, being so handsome, sometimes that can hurt you, because, you know, it can
sometimes,
right? When you're starting out.
I know what you mean. I Absolutely. I mean, because you can get put in the box. You know, and end up being the man in the box. And, you know, that made me nervous about the job with Price, but I also had my, you know, I had a very clear vision of what I wanted to do. Did I think it would turn into daytime for as long as it has? No, but I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And like you, you know, you were saying you were on All My Children for a while, and when they did the reboot, having that opportunity.
I want to talk about that.
Please. Yeah, that.
So you're finished with Price, and then you did a day on The Bold and the Beautiful, right?
But what happened first?
I did. That was.
We do research.
You guys are pros, man. I really need another cup of coffee to keep up with you guys.
You weren't in another interview where he was just like, he's like, I went deep, and then he got all the facts wrong.
Dude,
so
it's all good. It's I'll correct where. But no, you're spot on.
But you did a day on The Bold and the Beautiful. Is that
right? Yeah, they did just like a cross promotion type thing, and at that point I had done zero soap opera, anything in daytime other than having this run on Price is Right that really blew up. We did these monster media tours, and it's really crazy to think about how long it's been. You know, that was 2012, and at that point I had just been in LA for about 2 years, and you know, struggling, doing my thing, you know, trying to stay afloat, you know, between taking my classes and going to auditions for everything and anything. Getting that job was security for the first time in a while. But I also knew what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to stick to my guns and get something I could be proud of and be a part of what I really wanted to do. But Price was such a great launch pad, and the people were amazing. And really all the way to the top from CBS when I left a couple years later, because they let me continue when I started All My Children. So I would go to New York. We shot in Stanford, Connecticut, and we brought it back for Hulu. But that's where I started getting my soap degree, and I was loving it. And even as nervous as I was being thrown into like the lions, then all of a sudden you're doing 30 pages a day, and I felt really green still. I was learning so much, and I was drinking enough juice and coffee to see through walls. So it was allowing me to
going back and forth from Connecticut to LA and still shooting Price.
Yeah. Wow. I'd come back and I would shoot Price
that
here.
It's been hard.
It was great. I really loved it. You know, I was like, this is what it's all about. You know, I want to be tired. I want to be burnt out from doing what I love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did that as long as I could. And then when the opportunity for Days came, you know, that took over obviously. And, had to part ways with CBS, but they were so great the entire time. Yeah. You know, everybody on the departure of that, they were very great. And then you saw they had me come back to help judge for the next male model, which I think one of them may still be there. I'm not 100% sure, but.
Wait. So by the time you went back to judge the replacement, were you already working on Days?
I believe so. I know I had probably been in the limbo with All My Children because there was a period of time where we weren't sure when we were going to come back.
Oh, right.
There was the whole situation with One Life to Live and ABC and all that situation, and All My Children kind of got the shelf because of that as well. But I know ultimately when I started Days, that was the complete departure. So, yeah.
So talk a little bit about your experience of meeting Marnie for the first time and what that getting the job on Days.
Marnie is the casting director
which
for Days.
Her name comes up often and obviously with so much love.
I love Marnie. We had a very interesting meeting because it was really a dream moment, man. I think back on it, it was such an exciting, nerve-wracking period of time being in between the jobs that I thought I was really, you know, starting to excel at and developing the craft. And to make a long story short, there was a string of auditions that I had in between All My Children that I was very close on. I was supposed to be testing for a Tina Fey comedy pilot I was really excited about. I had changed my flight 3 times. It was right before Christmas. And I was really excited to go home to Boston and see my friends and my family. And I had a couple letdowns. Each of those led to what I think was probably the biggest blessing, which was, you know, having the opportunity to work with Days and meet Marnie, because they reached out to my agent at the time. And I initially said, of course I want to audition or whatever it was. And I read what this false breakdown was for the character. And I thought it was somebody else. My manager at the time thought it was for the role of Chad Demera, actually, because that character had just been let go and they, you know, had a decent sized storyline. And in my head, I was like, whatever. So after these close calls with these other projects, I was really getting burnt out and I was really like getting down. And they were like having me change flights for this test with this other project. And then right when I've already changed everything and the holidays, they pulled it. They were like, we're not gonna test that right now. Then my agent again calls me, says about days still reaching out. And I was like, absolutely, but I'm taking this flight. I'm going home. And they're like, Rob, they really want to see you. You know, you should really do this. I was like, and I will, but I need to go home. It's Christmas. I've already had my heart broken a few times. I just need to do this. And they're like, fine. They got me the self-tape. Before self-tapes were the absolute norm, 2000, this was 2000, end of 13. Mm-hmm. I started January of 2014. They told me about this opportunity, blah, blah, blah. I go back home. I just land. I'm reading the sides on the plane. I'm getting into it. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to have to ask, you know, my girlfriend at the time, one of my friends back home to read with me. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go, but fuck it. We got to make this work. So I'm getting ready to like plan out a time to shoot this thing. And I just land the night I land and I get a call from my agent and they were like, Rob, somebody from All My Children vouched for you. And production reached out and they just want to offer you this contract.
Oh my God.
And at that point in my life, you know, I'm fighting for every audition. I'm fighting for everything as that's the life of an actor, you know, until you're that 1% of the 1%, you know, we have to hustle.
You're like, oh, so I'm offer only now?
I go, what do you mean an offer? I go, wait. And he's all excited. He's like, Rob, you know, you can finish your soap degree is what we were joking about at that time because I was really getting into it with All My Children, but I got cut short. And he goes, and on top of it, the casting director, which I've never read for Marnie in the past, I never had gone in for days ever, is from Boston as well. And she's back home right now for Christmas, as you are. You made the right choice, my friend, because she wants you to come to her family home.
What?
And she wants to give you some scripts and meet you. I was like, oh my God. I was out with my friends. I'm like three tequilas deep. I'm at Christmas and I get this call and I'm standing outside in a t-shirt. It's like freezing cold right before Christmas and I'm excited and pumped. And I'm like, I gotta go meet Marnie. And our meeting there was everything. I was super nervous. I think I might've brought her flowers or something. I was super nervous. Aww. And I didn't know what to do, but her family was there. And it was like her time where she needed to get away. Yeah. And I understood that back then too. I was like, I don't want to intrude on this, your family time, but here I am. Her family home was beautiful. Up in Northern Mass near New Hampshire. It looks like a little Hallmark town and home. And it was just, everything was perfect. And I sat down with her and she was like, Rob, you know, I've casted for a long time. And this was the first time in, I think she said 20 some odd years that she's ever just done this without meeting the person. She goes, but I can see why they chose you. And I was like, well, I've been here about 4 minutes. I don't know. And then she slides over this giant stack of scripts, because obviously we're getting paper scripts until everything with COVID. Yeah. She slides over this monstrous stack. And she goes, you're going to be playing Ben Weston. Or excuse me, I think it was Ben Rogers at that time. We didn't even have his last name all figured out because he was this mystery character. So she, you know, confirms this job, hands me this giant stack of scripts and was playing a character that I didn't know about. My manager was wrong about. Everything was just completely new. And it was just like this blank slate to just start again. And Marnie and I, that's my girl. That is my from my hometown. Yeah. We share similar everything, taste and just what we value about the craft and the work ethic. And she's been rallying for me for years, man. And I'm eternally grateful.
That's such a good story.
It's a great story. Yeah.
Did so you that's ever, the whole thing.
Did so. You ever find out who from All My Children vouched for you?
It was Lisa, Lisa DeCazette, passed. Yes, Lisa DeCazette. Yeah. She had actually, I think, come over 2 days for a period of time. Or I'm not really
sure.
And
she was at Young and Restless briefly too.
Yes, so she was there, and I had when I got the offer and I started the days. I went up to the booth, and you know, I didn't know anybody yet, and I was you know pretty nervous. But I went up there and just was like, I have to thank you. You know, little birdie told me. You were mainly the person to vouch for me on this. And I know there's a time constraint. And hey, maybe I end up sucking and this ends right now, but at least I'm here for this week. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the opportunity to kind of do my thing.
That's amazing. It's a great story.
That's the whole long
amazing story.
I've been dying to get Marnie on the show because she has changed so many lives.
Dude.
And she's incredible. And to your point, just passionate and she cares and is also just so warm and welcoming and makes everyone that goes into that office.
And there's no bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was such another thing that it connected me so much with the show. And just, I don't know, I was like, I trust her. You know, I trust her opinion of actors and her taste. And it made me feel like I need to prove something here, because yes, I got the job and I did as best I could with all my children and these things that got me to this opportunity.
You played a Petey Courtland, right?
Yeah, Petey.
And the Courtlands were an established family on all the children. So you're playing a good role.
Oh, it was so fantastic. Jill Larson, she was unbelievable. To this day, think about her.
Did she do the reboot?
She was my mom in my first scenes.
Reboot. She Opal?
Opal. Yeah, she's Opal.
Oh, what a brilliant, she's Opal. Brilliant, she's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
She's
woman, brilliant. Dude.
She's just an incredible person, too.
She took me in and she made me feel like I was her son. She was so playful in all the ways that we hope to have with our scene partners to give you so much. All I had to do was breathe in front of her.
I know.
And she just ran
and funny.
That shit.
She's
and
really funny.
So funny.
Really
dude.
Funny.
So,
I can't remember who went on to do that reboot from our show, but.
Really, we had.
I didn't.
I think everybody except for, unfortunately, Susan. Everybody was a part of it. I had great story with Vincent Irizarry,
Vincent did it.
Got very close with Katie McLean at the time.
Oh,
we had long talks. We were doing these fan events in like Dallas, and she shared, and I was just like a sponge to everything I was, you know, being surrounded by. And everybody was so open and so they just divulged, and we just immediately connected. It was a really, really good period of time.
Yeah,
interesting.
Get to Days, and clearly you didn't fuck up on that first week, and it ended up being more than just that.
Cheers.
Then you end up becoming another character,
thrown into the deep end, like you said, like a stack of scripts and
100%, and really nothing to base it off of. The character was being played for a very short period of time by somebody else that I don't even know if it started airing, because even back then I think we're still X amount of months ahead. So I didn't really have anything to base it off of, and I didn't care so much about that. But I read the initial breakdown for this character, and it went in a complete different direction for the Ben Weston. And it felt kind of like I was happy to be there. I loved working, but I couldn't really sink in yet. And I really didn't sink into that role for over a year. And unfortunately, when it really started to click and they ended up writing tremendous for me, and that carried for a very long time, was when they turned him heel. You know, all of a sudden I found out I'm the killer.
Oh yeah.
And I took that very personally, because I was like, man, you know, I'm doing everything I can here. I was like, not only am I taking out all these beloved characters that other people like, but now my ass is on the line.
Yeah.
So if this door is shutting in my face, I at least have to make sure that they remember who they shut it on. You know, and if I can just create something that can be remembered rather than just a bad thing. Because nobody wants to be killed off, and nobody wants to be the killer doing it. You're taking jobs. Your own is ending. So if we can ground this in a place as honest as possible, and try to find a reason behind it, and ground it in love, and whatever it is that can fucking make this digestible and work, I think there's a really great opportunity. And I think about all the characters and actors over time that played certain roles that reminded me of that. And I tried to just soak up what I know I was.
Did you have like specific influences that you were drawing upon?
When he turned into that the whole necktie killer storyline, I was probably on some fucking FBI Netflix watch queue because of the shit I was watching. All murdered. And I still like the documentaries like that, you know, true crime.
Yeah, I
really do. But at that period of time, one in particular, going back to the Massachusetts Boston roots, Mark Wahlberg's film when he was young called Fear.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Fear?
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that, and as I watched that many a times, I saw so much of what was being written for Ben at the time, and it spoke to me, and I started seeing it differently, and I was like, okay, this is opening my eyes to a different part of him, and kind of digging into the trauma that he had gone through. And I thought about all the story that we had touched on a little bit between the relationship with his sister who was abused, his father who abused him, and all these things that made him kind of this, you know, caged beast. And as mysterious and quiet and calm as he was perceived when he first showed to town, the reason for that is because he's hiding.
Yeah.
He's hiding something. And what a time to let it all be revealed. Then when that door is closing on him, like, surprise, this is what we can do, you know? And as bad as it was, it opened up a lot of doors.
Well, that is also the key to to playing villains. And we've talked about this. It's like, where's the humanity underneath the bad behavior? And were you certain at that time? Did they say this is going to be the end of the road, or you were just sort of like reading the tea leaves?
When it first came out, and it was, you know, Albert was our producer at the time, and he called me up in that into that office, and you know,
no one wants that call.
You get that call, and it's like, man, they're like, Rob, you know, we love you, but we had this storyline, and it makes sense. And I was like, it does make sense. And I'm excited to do this, Albert, because I'm pissed off inside, and I can't wait to you know, infuse this storyline with how I really feel. And we took it because I really did love the people I worked with, and it really did hurt me to think about you know, this coming to a close. But I was like, no, it's not. I was like, this isn't a close. I was like, this is just great writing. Mm-hmm. So do your job. Yeah. Do your job and be the best fucking killer you can possibly be. What would be interesting to you, you know? And if you can do that,
yeah,
then we're going to be interested in seeing something else, you know? I don't care about trying to be, you know, just the romantic lead or just the villain. I want to be interesting.
But this is, sorry, no, you go ahead.
No,
fine, go ahead.
You can.
No, I interrupted you last time, so I insist.
You guys go at the same time. Well, like, no, when you
I just
you
know? Wanted to. I just wanted to say. So then that character ends, and they bring you back. So tell us.
No,
this
but
whole
that's
story
not when. What? Sorry, you didn't end. The character of Ben Watson didn't end after that storyline.
No, it took off from that storyline. Yeah. So what was seemingly the close ended up being the door opening.
You know more Days of Our Lives
Dude,
history
it's
than
a tough
I
thing
do,
to keep
okay?
track of. I can barely
I don't
keep
know.
Track
you
of
were
it.
Another character. I'm yeah. like,
but
how
not
did
until
you
that's
become
years
two
later.
Characters?
That's yeah. years later.
Years yeah. later? Yeah.
So what it was, when we started doing it, before it was even done, the storyline, we really connected on a lot of things. And honestly, it was during that period of time that I think I found some of the greatest tools that I'll never forget. And I feel like that in particular storyline really taught me acting on a way deeper level than all the things I had learned or tried to accomplish elsewhere. I found some things that I'm forever grateful for, and it changed the course of everything. And that's when the discussions came in where before we were even done, they were like, Rob, we're going to figure out a way to get you back. We're going to do this, but you've killed like six people. You got to go away for a little while. I was like, dude, I completely get it.
Who did you kill, by the way?
List went on. The biggest ones, the Will one was huge.
Oh, that's right.
But then we brought him back, and I brought him back.
Nobody's ever made it okay. dead in Salem.
Nobody's ever dead. All you need is, you know, I brought him back with Ali Sweeney and
Dr. Rolf
and
that magic potion.
And the Dr. Rolf potion. We break a lot of rules at Days, but I really have come to love it. Will was the biggest.
Got it.
But one of the ones I was like, this is going to be bad too. You know, he killed his midwife after they delivered his baby in a cabin. I took her out and shot the midwife.
What?
Dude, I was like, there's no coming back from this, Rob. You have, enjoy your time. Yeah. Make a meal out of this because this is going to be hard to come back from. Will was beloved. A lot of them. Paige, the character Paige. Mm-hmm. Serena Mason. He killed like women. And then he killed Will. And he killed his midwife. It was drastic. And then I beat up Chad so viciously. And like, it was like, we used to shoot like really choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Billy had one that was epic.
You and Billy Flynn.
Me and Billy Flynn, my boy.
Love Billy.
And me too. And yeah, I miss him, but I'm happy for him. I hope he's doing his thing at YNR.
I bet he is.
For sure. But we had an epic, epic, epic fight scene. And it was so, so fun. And it took so much time. We really took time with it. And I think that's why the story really hit. And really try to make a meal out of everything, you know, but yeah.
Okay. So then Ben goes away because he has to, because he's killed all these people, comes back. And then you still have a long journey as that character before a transition into.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
God. Shit.
Are you going to keep doing this?
I mean,
I like it.
Also,
I was just curious what he did with his time between those two characters. What did you do in that time? Did you go snowboard? And I know you like to be in the mountains.
I do. I love snowboarding. With that in particular, with the whole Ben thing, it really went by quick because I did a 2-year contract, and at the end of that deal, I still came back in, was kind of popping in for episodes to throw kind of gas on the fire, so to speak, crash a wedding. Do something, you know, but I immediately came back by like 2017, 18 full time. And that was really the story that took over everything. The redemption story,
mm-hmm.
you know, one personally for me changed me. in how I look at work and our opportunities and our job. And the second part of that character was the redemption and just what we can do with it. And that was just, it caught fire. The Ben and Sierra storyline blew up. Mm-hmm. And taking somebody that was bad, turning him into this gray character, you know, rooted in love, and the woman of his life, you know, helping change him. It's been the story with soaps forever, you know, daytime it's romance.
Very similar to my character on Young and Restless and having a big redemption. And same thing. I didn't go as far as killing somebody, but the only reason she didn't die is because I locked her in an airtight freezer and then burned the restaurant down.
Oh, you preserved her.
I preserved her.
Good work.
With the intent of killing her, but, you know.
That's wild.
Oh, my God.
But same thing. A long redemption arc, which is always fun to play. Dude, you know.
That was my favorite, and that's really what changed the whole game, and that carried on for 8 years of Ben Weston.
Yeah.
Then some changes happened within the show, and got the call about Alex Kyriakis, you know, so... That was probably the greatest compliment I could have gotten, you know, because I know we could have kept trying everything, but we put that guy through. We did everything as both as a couple and individually. Give him the happy ending that the fans wanted. And I think it was Ron, obviously, Carlavati. Kudos forever to him as well.
I adore him. He was here yesterday.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Love Ron. And I owe him drinks forever.
Yeah.
Because he really, you know, I'm grateful. I felt for a while there, you know, getting the ball, so to speak, I wanted to step up and make sure I quarterbacked as best as I could, you know, because I felt like I was working a lot. And I was like, you know, I want to make sure not just that we do a good job, but the show as a whole, you know, and to see us guest star getting these multi-year renewals and stuff like that, I was like, we're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so keep
to our guns. You kill it. And I want to go back to it at some point, but just mentioning being a quarterback is a great segue. Because we do have to talk about your Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's do it. That was fucking awesome, man. Yeah. Such a blessing. And I thank our producers, Noel and Randy. I brought it up to them a few times because it was a pretty tight window of mm-hmm. being able to do it. But there was at least a little bit of leeway.
Can I ask, do you audition for commercials or is this something that
I do? Yeah,
you
I
got offered or what?
No, I did audition. I actually
thought you were offer only now, man. What the hell? Yeah,
I tell you, that was besides some like.
Well, some people don't audition for commercials once they start working, but I mean, commercials can
listen,
be.
Listen, I want to audition. I want to earn it. You know, but I mean, offers are nice.
Offers are nice.
Offers are real nice, but I have no problem earning what I want.
Also, I think it's easier now because you're not, remember the days of like driving to Santa Monica at 5 o'clock on a Friday for a commercial audition?
Do I ever, my friend?
But now you get to just do it in your car.
What do you mean? Yeah. You can do audition for commercials at home? What?
Yeah, a lot of them are self-tapes, but this one in particular, this was crazy. Because
they are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me a commercial agent.
Dude, I got you. I got a great commercial agent for you.
I've been out of commercials for years because you would drive and go to these like cattle calls and you'd just be sitting there for like 2 hours.
Oh, no.
If I can go on tape for a commercial?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I got you. Next career.
Hey, I got you. No, really though. You got my agent and they're all great there. For that one in particular, yeah, I do. I mean, I'll do a commercial here and there when I can get them, you know, they're kind of like lottery tickets.
Yes.
And not saying you're making tons of money, but more so,
well, especially
you don't always
commercial.
Have to be the best actor or it's just right place, right shirt,
and also
right
be
time.
Exactly what they're looking for.
Exactly mm-hmm. what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. This one had a lot to it and they did say it was going to be a long spot and they didn't tell me it was for the Super Bowl. They didn't tell me Kurt Russell. They didn't tell me Joseph Kosinski was the director. They didn't tell me Hoyt Van Hoytema was the cinematographer. This thing was fucking so epic. And to think that what re-inspired me after all these years, I started this industry and I had my first like taste of blood, so to speak, in like 2008 in Massachusetts, in Boston, filming there. To think my next wave of inspiration that really caught me later in life was to do a beer commercial. I would never imagine. And I tell you what, dude, I was so inspired because I was surrounded by all these amazing everybody who's great at their own niche in their talent, you know, the director, the cinematographer, Kurt, obviously, everybody I got to do this thing with. Hoyt Van Hoytema just came off of winning an Oscar, multiple nominations for cinematography, Oppenheimer, Dunkirk, all these are the guys I want to work with.
That's incredible.
Kosinski just came off of F1 and there he's sharing stories with Lewis Pullman, talking about that, you know, the shirtless scenes that they shot on the beach and what it turned into. And they're just talking about it while we're filming this beer commercial, you know?
Michelob, right?
Michelob Ultra, yeah.
Did you do your own snowboarding? Was that a requirement?
Well, it was when I went out for the job. They were like, you know, I was like, yeah, I love snowboarding. It's like one of my favorite hobbies. I was like, sure. So they wanted video and this and that. And they asked for more. I had an audition and then I had a call back. And at the callback, I didn't even recognize, because I was like, sometimes, I mean, even though it's nice to get in the room again, it was one of those moments where it's like, you know, I just do my thing. Tell me what to do. I don't care who's here. I don't know. I don't want to reek of desperation. I'm getting my reps in here. You know, it's nice to be in the room. But I didn't know that it was Joe Kaczynski was who it was there. I didn't even look at anybody in the room. I just came in, hit the mark, listened to the casting director tell me what to do when we do our audition, right? But on the callback, there was the two guys I did it with, the second guy was really good. He ended up booking it as well. And I was like, damn, this guy's good. And he was a little older than me, a little different look. I was like, I got to do something completely different, you know? And I was like, well, just throw these fucking lines away and make it my own, you know? And honestly, the scene was about talking to my friend Greg.
Yes, sir.
It was really Greg. And I have one of my good friends is Greg, and we snowboard a lot. And I fucking bust his balls all the time. So this was not a stretch for me to be a bully while snowboarding and buying beers. This was not, you know, this wasn't
this
a stretch.
This is like another day for you.
This was like
this is what I do all the time.
This is a Thursday.
Why are you bringing me in?
Yeah.
I was like, sure. I know how to do this.
And then as it came down, you know, I felt good with it. I really made it my own and changed things up. And I just loved doing it. I felt it was really fun. I get the call while I was at a fan event for days. Actually, I got a call from my commercial agent. They're like, Rob, you got the offer. And I have to tell you, I'm not supposed to because I signed an NDA. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
It's going to be, we
don't know who the A-list is going to be, but this is the big 60-second spot. It's for the commercial. So you got to tell your producers, figure out a way to do this.
And I was
like,
Super Bowl, you mean the
Super Bowl. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And then my team went, you know, I'm diehard Boston sports.
Yeah.
New England was in it, and I was so spoiled with that moment, even though the Patriots lost.
Still, but I feel like the win for you was having, because I saw you had a bunch of your friends over, That was still a win, even without
the Patriots.
Oh, it
was so special.
I really liked your idea of putting the jersey of the other team or whatever you did as the doormat. Oh, my God. I'm like, that is a great idea next time my Bengals or my Vikings are in the Super Bowl.
Is that your team?
Well, those two teams.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes. I mean, I'm from Cincinnati. My husband's from Minnesota, so.
Okay, cool.
My kid seems to like the Vikings.
I got no bad blood with either of those teams. You got good teams.
Okay,
that's cool.
Yeah, I know.
Well, remember that one year she was real bent out of shape when the Bengals lost, remember?
Oh, and she was crying.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, she's really
I know
football.
That pain.
My daughter, she played flag. And anyway, we're getting off the rails. Okay. Wow. We've said a lot.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you, like to cook, right? Because did your father have a restaurant? Or?
Yeah. I did that.
Yeah?
When I was very, very young.
You're Italian, yes?
Yeah. I'm a mutt, but I was raised like an Italian household, so to speak, on my mom's side. So like Christmases, seven fishes, stuff like that. But I'm a mutt. I'm a Italian, French, Native American. The last name Wilson, my father and his whole family was adopted. All his brothers and sisters were adopted by who was my Papa Jay, who took on all the Hellions and made them Wilsons, and I'm a Aww. Spawn of that. And then, yeah.
So then what's your favorite thing to cook? Do you make
homemade favorite thing to cook?
Pasta?
I think probably my specialty is something I did pick up from my dad. It's very New England based, but it's a stuffed mushroom, like a crab stuffed mushroom.
Yeah. Mm.
Very New England style. And I like to cook Italian. You know, I'm a pasta guy, and I like all that, but... You know, we got to keep abs on our show. So I try not to eat, you know, too much penne alla vodka. But what are you going to do?
We're Italian on my mom's side. And I have no interest in cooking, but my sister is like the cook. And she can do, you know, she'll do the seven fishes. And she does her red sauce is just to die for. And she'll come and visit and make us like a giant pot of it to just freeze.
Oh, I love it.
For a long
Thanks
time.
For That's the me. Best.
Okay.
Next time.
Fan
okay,
questions.
we have a soapy hotline.
Fan questions.
And fans
yes.
Write in with questions. So we've got to get to a couple of those.
Let's go.
What is it like working with Abigail Klein while portraying Stalex?
Stalex. Oh, Stalex? Yeah. They gave us the smash name. Yeah.
I know. Stephanie I knew it was for Stephanie Alex.
But you
I'm
said
like,
it
how,
wrong. It's Stalex.
Stalex. It's fine. I'm sorry. I got a weird accent. Okay. I probably say a lot of things wrong.
Okay.
Abigail's fantastic.
She's amazing.
She's absolutely fantastic. You know, I know she's probably green to daytime, but she's an absolute pro and she's an absolute sweetheart. Makes my job super easy.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the days that we can't fully rehearse as much as we'd like, I can always trust that it'll come together because sometimes, you know, you get the right chemistry or the right person, whatever it may be, that's just open and there with you in that period. And I can always trust that it's going to be okay. So that's how I feel about this guy.
Oh, God.
Whenever we have scenes together, no matter what, because this guy has so much dialogue, and they write for Leo some of the wildest shit.
I know.
And we sometimes we'll be working a good amount, but we haven't worked a ton together recently. No.
But they always, not surprisingly, they always have me like relentlessly flirting with you. And you're so funny. But like you're so playful and game to just sort of, you know, because there's some actors that you sort of like hit the ball to and they're like, I don't want to hit that ball.
Sure.
But you always, dude, you're always fun to spar with.
I think that's where the gold lies.
Do you remember our first scenes together? I do.
Our first scenes? I remember a lot of our scenes. I just remember the first one.
Spot.
Well, I'm just curious.
I remember one specifically because our producer called me and he asked if I'd be okay.
Oh no.
And I was like, can we do this without, because I was like, this could be funny and we'll have that same thing. But they're like, they wanted me to like show my ass when we first went to Peacock. If I'm not mistaken, it was like a punchline with a Leo scene where Leo was making a comment about me walking away and I guess my towel drops. And I was like, dude, I'm down for all this. But I was like, do I have to like drop my towel too? Isn't that like...
The implications
like,
oh, there with or without the towel.
Yeah. But I was like, listen, it's going to happen sooner than later.
You
but
work
I was like,
out so hard. You didn't want to like show off what
show
all
your
hard
ass.
Work?
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. No, it is what it is. I know this game and I know, you know, daytime. So I'm not bashful like that, but I was like, maybe there's a right place and a wrong place.
Yeah, there's a way it hurts me.
I get it.
What was our first one?
It was like before I was there on the regular, and I think you were working for Vivian Alamein at some point.
Holy shit, yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And I had a scene where I come to the door and you're, I don't know if you're her like henchman or whatever.
Yes.
And I just remember saying something where I was like, oh, if only I had a daddy, like blah, blah, blah.
Yes, yes, I remember this.
But you just had this like playful grin in you, because your line back to me was like, you mean like a daddy? But you just said, you go, you mean like,
oh,
like a daddy?
I remember
and
now.
I was like, oh, this guy is playful. Daddy? And he's really fun. Yeah.
Daddy? Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Okay, wait, sorry. One last fan question. Why do you think people should be watching soaps today?
Why do I think people should be watching soaps? I think this is a genre that has stood the test of time. And granted, it's been slimmed down and there's only the four of us left. Five of us, which is great, incredible. By the way. Yeah. Love that.
Feels like we're on the upswing.
I do too. And, you know, this was something that was foreign to me too. Even though I grew up watching it, it was actually Young and the Restless with my grandmother I watched. I knew it very well. And to this day, you know, Victor Newman, you know, come on, this guy, our greatness is still doing it. It's unbelievable.
Incredible.
It's something that's through the test of time. And the amount of work and the amount, if you can do it well, you know, which I believe everybody who has consistency in this genre is doing something right. If you can do this well, I believe you can really have a shot at anything. And the respect that I think the actors do get, actors I think respect soap actors a lot. But if you're on the outside, you're like, they do soap opera. Or they, you know, this is, it's daytime, you know, we're not shooting Fellinis. This isn't Scorsese, you know, I can't watch this. But the actors who have ever had to have like a piece of that, even your favorite actors, will always, always, almost always say that is the hardest job I've ever had. Or the structure of that and having to pull that off was so daunting, you know?
Yeah.
And it made me respect it more. And especially doing it and seeing the greats of many years. We have so many amazing vets on our show. And to see them show up with conviction and passion and care after 30 years of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very special.
Yeah.
You know, it's a slice of American pie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. To that point too, it's, I don't know anyone that works in the entertainment business that is working, that does not respect anyone else that is working in this business.
Period.
We had, and I'll tell you about this off camera because we've talked about it here, but we had Coppola came to Young and Restless and spent 2 weeks there.
You're kidding.
Back in like in the early 2010s because he wanted to shoot a movie that was three, four cameras at the same time and was wanting to study soap opera to learn how to do this film he had.
That's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
You just had Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
While you're shooting it's unbelievable.
I know. And he incredible. Was directing and stuff. Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
Okay. This has been really, really fun.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Thank you
guys.
For being with us.
Appreciate you.
I'm
Come
so
back
happy
and see
I
us again.
Absolutely. Likewise.
I'm
likewise.
So sorry you have to work with him.
Oh, this guy is, I wish I worked every day with him.
I know.
But luckily, we do share, you know, a wall.
Well,
he has to hear me blast music all day.
Hopefully our writers are watching this and they'll get inspired to give us a story together.
Absolutely.
You can watch this fine gentleman and myself weekdays on Days of Our Lives on Peacock. And you can watch this episode or any other episodes of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast, and we'll see you guys next time. You're a hero. Thank you.
Love you guys. Appreciate
you. Love you back.
Appreciate you.